Okay, is everybody back? And I think, let's see, I've talked to Mona and to Jason, and I heard Scott call in, and Don, and Frank. Did anybody else call in that wants to speak up?
Yeah, hi, this is Josh Snyderman from the DOE.
Oh, hi Josh, how are you?
Hi, good. Looking forward to listening to people's experiences.
Okay, great. So, first we'll ask if there are any announcements.
Amber, this is Scott. I just wanted to remind folks that the folks who are going to the American Geophysical Union, the discounted rate for registration is, the deadline for that is Friday the 8th of this week.
Okay, yeah, good.
If anyone's going, this is a good time. I think it saves $90 if you wait later, so... I know many of us are going to AGU and absolutely looking forward to seeing everyone. It's been quite a while.
I wish I could, but, I mean, sign up early. but the federal government, we have
You're still planning to come,
approvals.
Right?
Absolutely planning to 100% come, but our group travel is complicated, and last time I found out days before.
Wow.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm on the list of people that are to be approved.
Excellent.
Okay. Great. Good.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say that in a scary way.
I do want to let everybody know that in addition, this is with respect to the AGU meeting, in addition to our very high-level presence in terms of climate literacy sessions, we are having this workshop on Thursday morning. We will have, it's looking like we're going to have three breakout sessions in which we're going to try to carry on the conversation that we started on the, we've had conversations before, but we sort of decided at the tri-agency meeting at a session there that was focused around moving forward collaboratively. That we would move that conversation forward in at the AGU meeting, then potentially use one or two of our Clean Network meetings to continue that conversation and then to build on that at the NCSE meeting at the end of January in Washington, D.C. The NCSE is the National Council for Science and the Environment, and the meeting is on climate solutions in Washington. And then we'll probably take advantage of other meetings in the future, too. But that's the immediate plan. And the breakout sessions we have there, are there'll be three, which we will then summarize in the afternoon across those three breakout sessions. But one will be focused around the idea of collective impact and how we might move forward in developing a common agenda and shared measures and the other pieces of that. There'll be one that's focused around how do we leverage communication, education, and outreach efforts to communicate effectively. And one will be focused around the next generation science standards and Common Core and using those as to leverage improving climate literacy. So those will be the breakout sessions in that workshop. The way it'll be structured is in the morning we're inviting absolutely everybody who's participated. We'll have a little blurb read at each of the climate literacy sessions, inviting people to come to that workshop in the afternoon. Anybody who is interested in helping summarize the outcomes of the discussions in the morning would be invited to participate in an afternoon session. So that's the way that's being set up at this point.
Amber, this is Scott again. Go ahead, please.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask whether there had been any arrangements made for the, I think we were calling ourselves the Special Group on Education related to the National Climate Assessment, because we had talked for at one point of trying to do have a meeting somewhere or a workshop at least around AGU. Anyone heard anything more about that? It's kind of a Mark question, perhaps.
I haven't heard anything more about actually having a meeting, although Mark might be thinking, well, there's not a separate strand around that in the workshop we're planning, so we should talk to Mark, but I think we're too filled up now with...
Yep. No, I just wondered whether maybe
with,
they want to break
with the sessions we
that.
Have, and I'm planning already not to be there on Friday. I think
well,
it'll be enough.
We were,
so,
it might be a Friday or something that those of us who are involved in that group would try to get together, since many of us will be there.
I guess that's a possibility.
Yes. So Scott, one thing that we had talked about at some level was the workshop in the morning, and then there's some follow-on time on Thursday in the afternoon. And then I would think the logical thing is if there's a subsequent kind of group of people who are interested in carrying that conversation into Friday, if we're still around, that probably seems to be the kind of where it looks like it's going to me.
Okay. I'm good.
That's possible. It's just I've already made plans to do something else. I think I'm going to be exhausted by then. and quite honestly, I've done these things.
We just used Lou Summer.
I think we lost her.
Yeah. I hope she figures that unmute or something.
No, I'm getting some static on my side, so maybe she...
Yes, there has been a little bit this morning. Give her a few moments. Was there anyone else at GSA? Report back. I think that was what Tamara was going to report to us about.
Yeah. Don, are you still on the phone?
Maybe it's you and me, Frank.
Yeah, maybe we lost everybody. That's kind of weird.
I'm still on the phone.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, here. Jason.
Good.
Hey, Jason.
How's it going?
We're not still,
hey,
right?
We're still here. Really better than some.
Is there any crazy weather on the East Coast that might take a power out? Help online?
On where?
Well, I'm just curious whether there's any crazy weather in the Boston area that might have taken Tamara's phone out.
Well, you don't need crazy weather. You can just get tree limbs falling in Ohio, where I'm from. We get power outages due to that, too.
Yes.
They got the whole grid when that happens.
Yes.
Hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
There you are.
Hello?
You're back.
I could hear all of you talking, and but nobody could hear me.
No.
Yes. You're back.
Well, anyway, what I was suggesting is that for this National Climate Assessment Group, and maybe we should plan on potentially having a meeting during one of our telecons before AGU. I'm just worried that people are going to be a bit burnt out by the time we get to the end of that week to have any effective conversation. But we can talk to Mark about that also. But maybe we should talk to Mark about potentially having a meeting before AGU. I think we have an open time slot. But I don't know when he has the next meeting planned.
Yeah, we.
Okay, are there other announcements? Go ahead. Can people still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right.
One thing, you're right, exactly. Am I still talking? One thing that I think the group may want to know about is on climate.gov, I'm highlighting two web seminars that Second Nature is holding that relate to the National Climate Assessment. One of them is tomorrow night on preparing the nation for change, building, sustaining National Climate Assessment process. So if you're interested in that, and there's another one on the 20th about climate impacts, using tools and resources to prepare your campus for a changing climate. You know, if you haven't caught those, you know, in some of your listservs, just wanted to highlight that for you guys, especially picking up on the NCA Net Education Group.
Excellent.
Can you send that information out also on the listserv?
I can send I'll forward the original request I got out as well.
Sure. Okay, that would be great. Okay, any other announcements? Okay, well, as I said, last week a number of us were at the GSA meeting in Denver, and so I thought that I would give you my perspective on how things went, and then I can open it up to others who were also there. And I think we were so busy that a lot of us didn't even see each other. We knew each other was there. Anyway, so from my perspective, I was involved. First, we had through NAGT, the National Association for Geoscience Teachers, we had a, they promote a, what they call a four-pack. It's four half-day workshops. It's basically pre-meeting workshops. And if you're an NAGT member, you get to do two of them for the price of one. And that's why there's four workshops. The two of them are, the mornings, are there's two concurrent in the afternoon, so you can pick a morning and an afternoon. So I participated in one of those. I co-led one of those with Anna Gold and Deb Morrison from Colorado, focused on the clean collection and getting people to see how they can use the resources in the clean collection to teach. And most of the, we had there, the audience was, I would say, about 90% undergraduate faculty and then high school teachers. And so it was a very interesting mix. And the way we ran this was we first gave an overview of the climate literacy essential principles. And then we talked about the clean collection. And then we asked first for them to, in breakout groups, to discuss how they would, you know, picking one of the climate literacy essential principles and discussing how they might teach it. And then In a second set of breakouts, after they were introduced to the clean collection, to then identify resources that they plan to use. So we really got them really looking at the resources in the clean collection, and it was it went very well. So that was the workshop on Saturday, and then on Tuesday we had climate literacy sessions all day on Tuesday and the morning on Wednesday, and I was only at the ones on Tuesday. Those were focused on activities, meaning formal education at the middle, at the K-12 and higher ed levels, and informal education. And then in the so most of those in the morning were focused on that formal education piece. And there was one community college paper, but most of them were K-12 kinds of activities. And then we had a, in the afternoon, we had a, quite a broad range of outreach and informal ed kinds of discussions, which really went very well. They were really interesting. And we were quite well attended. In the morning sessions, we had consistently between 20 and 25 people in the room, and, you know, that was starting at 8:30 in the morning. In the afternoon, we got up to 60 people in the room through most of the sessions. So it was really quite well attended, and it basically doubled our presence there in that context for the GSA meeting. The other session was Wednesday morning. I was not there. It basically involved research and education research activities around climate literacy. And I can't comment. Karen McNeil and Anna Gold chaired that session, so I wasn't there for that. So I don't know if there's any questions or comments about, or if others would like to give their perspectives on, you know, what they saw. What I'll do while somebody else is talking is I can go and look up what some of these talks were and give you a little bit more context for what the talks were.
So, Tamara, one thing I would find valuable is, was there any new project, activity, finding, technique that you found notable that you would want to share with us?
Let's see. What I can't do is remember off the top of my head, but I am going to pull up my notes. I did take notes during the course of this. And
I guess what I'm looking for is that, you know, are there new practitioners, members of the community that we should invite, join to come share their work with us?
Yeah, I think that there are a good number of those. There was the activity at the community college level, which we really haven't heard about before. What they've done is, at the community college level, it's a little bit different, I gather, so that they use the context of a physics course, and they developed the four meteorology courses, where one was an introduction to climatology and was basically a three-credit course, and then then they had three other shorter courses, each one credit, but focused more on a specific activity that might capture interest. So one was on severe weather, focused on hurricanes. One was on severe weather, focused on tornadoes. And one was focused explicitly on climate change, as opposed to the larger course was introduction to climatology in general. Made a presentation, and so they're already actually part of our community. We had Sarah Harris give a talk about MOOCs, one of the things that was interesting there, she had a MOOC on climate literacy using the Coursera platform. And so here's the attrition rate. The 24,000 people registered for the course, 13,000 logged on once, 8,000 were active the first week, 2,600 lasted a few weeks, 1,000 answered the exit survey, and 750 earned certificates, in which they scored better than 65% on the final assessment. So 24,000 down to 750. So that was kind of interesting. I mean, I've heard these MOOCs really attract a whole lot of people registering, but I had not heard the level of attrition to these courses before. They in that course, people from 139 countries registered. Okay, so what we had a presentation about Coco Ross and the and we've had a presentation on the Clean Network from them before. We had a talk on digital planetariums for engaging public audiences. And they were focusing their activities around bioregions. Developing their programs around seeing and then knowing and then doing, a kind of structure. And then there was a talk on science fair mentoring. Some of these talks actually were, you know, getting at things that we're kind of familiar with. So there was one that was focused around misconceptions about the nature of science and the recognition that scale is an important aspect to consider in any kind of activities in terms of trying to improve climate literacy. There was a talk from Colorado State University, Climate Change is Everyone's Business, and basically they've put together a course, but it is across the school, the participation, 28 departments participated in this course, 8 colleges, and they really sort of focus it more on a community learning effort rather than any kind of departmental or disciplinary effort. There was a talk from Lisa Donner about broadcast meteorologists and the discomfort that many meteorologists have with talking about climate issues. One of the things that I think most people don't realize is that the TV meteorologist is not usually very highly trained in terms of their understanding of climate science or even earth system science. I know that to get the American Meteorological Seal of Approval for a TV meteorologist, they usually have graduate students who help tutor them so that they can pass the test. So, I mean, I'm not saying this is true across the board, but many of them do not have graduate degrees. And so there is a hesitancy there a lot because some of them are downright deniers, and because they don't really understand the difference between weather and climate in terms of the statistical significance in the different time scales on which they occur. We had one from EcoArts. When is art not enough? Was the title, I guess. It might be interesting to have them give a talk sometime. Marta has been part of our conversations at times, but the connection that they made there was cognition plus affect equals effect, and it was to sort of use the art to get people to move to doing something. So I think that was the range of talks. And there are a number of ones here that I marked that we could potentially have engaged them into giving talks on this on our network call, because I think they were really interesting. I'd be interested in hearing more about the MOOCs.
Thank you.
So is there anybody else who was there that would like to talk a little bit about, you know, we all attended different things, I know that. So okay, and just so that you know, we did have a series of talks. I didn't talk in detail about those talks that we gave about the Clean Collection, because all of you are aware of the things that came out of that. Okay, well, yes.
Well, one question about what you just described is it's striking the variety of different activities, and I guess has anybody kind of worked to try and figure out the types of activities, any of the categories or the?
Well, I think the category. You know, I think that we've really done that, and we'll have that separated out more at the AGU meeting. Part of the reason that they were all combined into one at GSA is that the potential audience is smaller. So we had just to give you a sense of scale, in our session we had a total of 18 papers with that variety. At AGU we have 141 papers, and it's spread across, I think, 6 different topical areas. So I think it's worth sort of looking at the sort of the ones that were in the afternoon in my session, because they were such a variety of outreach efforts. And I'd have to ask Anna and Karen about the research and evaluation session, but I think there they had maybe on the order of 10 papers, and I don't know the level of variety there. So I think the range of activities is really interesting. I think that we sort of can see that more, and it would be interesting to do that kind of analysis in the context of the papers we have at the AGU meeting. That might give us a much richer distribution of the kind of things that are going on, and that actually is something maybe that I'll look into doing, because I think that would be interesting to know.
Yeah, I agree.
So is there any other, I guess nobody else here. Don, were you at the AGU, at the GSA meeting? Were you still on the phone? I guess not. I really only saw him. He chaired the GSA education section, I guess you call it. I'm not sure if it's called a section or not. He actually just, he was chair this year. And he stepped down at the end of that. So he was the one through which all of our education abstracts went through. And there is a nice community there between the GSA education section and NADT. They had a joint lunch in the middle of all of this. So it's community that's coming together through those avenues. And just so everybody has some context, there's context for NAGT. Its home, where it has its annual meetings, is in conjunction with GSA every year. And it's GSA has traditionally been more geology focused. Mm-hmm. And most of the technical papers are in that vein. However, they're working really hard to broaden that. NAGT, its history is also similar, but they are also working to broaden that. So such that Susan Burr Sullivan was president this year. She's an atmospheric chemist by training, and my degree is in atmospheric science also, and I'm a counselor at large for NAGT. So they are trying to bring to broaden that spectrum so that climate issues are more relevant to this community. But obviously, that's already something that's already been done at AGU. And then the other Earth Science Teachers Organization is NESTA, the National Earth Science Teachers Organization, and they association, and they have their annual meeting in conjunction with NSTA every year. So they'll be here in Boston in March.
Great. So Tamara, I was just going to say, Scott, I'm at our schedule for the next couple of weeks, and we actually have in the next 4 weeks, we actually have three talks before AGU, and
right.
I know earlier in our call today, we talked about trying to have a little bit of a session talking about the climate, national climate assessment, the stuff.
Well, you know what, why don't we talk to Mark and
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the 12th is the only time we have for informal discussion in the next, actually before AGU.
Right.
Yep. We'll work that out with Mark.
All right, we'll talk to Mark and see what he'd like to do.
Yeah.
Because I actually don't remember. Do you know when the next National Assessment Education Affiliate Group meeting is? It's supposed to be about once a month, but I don't remember off the top of my head when the next one is. When is it again?
I don't have
nothing scheduled at the moment, Tamara.
Okay.
We all agree.
Okay. Well, I will talk to Mark and see how he'd like to handle it.
Yep. We might do it at a different time.
Yeah.
Slightly, you know, off our regular schedule.
Okay, well, we will see whether or not we have that discussion next week or we have additional informal discussion. I think what I will make sure that we do is we just sort of do a review of what the AGU sessions are, you know, so we have a little bit more time to talk about those. We'll probably announce them again during the following weeks, but obviously not quite in as much detail. So if we have time next week, we'll go into those a little bit more. But just for everybody's information now, those sessions are scheduled for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then that workshop I mentioned is on Thursday. There is also a climate change communication workshop that's Sunday before AGU that AGU Education set up. I didn't know anything about it until the tri-agency meeting when I got handed a flyer. So that's also another possibility. I won't be able to be there. I'll be traveling to San Francisco on that day.
Mm-hmm.
So we've sort of got 5 days in a row of potential meetings and discussions and networking. It should be a really, really good meeting. Just so everybody, again, knows, all of the climate literacy sessions will be in video on demand rooms so that and we'll try to get information ahead of time. So I don't know if people can see them when they're actually happening, but everybody, even if you can't go, can listen to these talks afterwards. And some of the, you know, there'll be some that might be of more interest, but one that will be particularly special is we have a union session on what AGU scientists can do to effectively help people address climate change. So that should be a really interesting session.
And the union session is on Wednesday, is that right?
I don't remember at the moment. I can look that up. Let's see.
The reason I ask is I've been working on the abstract system and trying to put together an itinerary, and I'll share it with the network, just of all the potential sessions in one Excel spreadsheet. No need for all of us to do it simultaneously.
Yeah, well, I will be sending an email, but it's actually the Tuesday afternoon.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. It's actually the last one on Tuesday. It's 4 to 6 p.m. San Francisco time.
Got it. Thank you.
And it actually coincides with some of our poster sessions.
Okay.
This overlaps a little bit, but we will put that up. If Frank, if you're going to put together a spreadsheet, just send it to me, because I was going to advertise all of these to everybody from the Clean Network listserv.
Sure, I'll send it to you directly.
Okay, great.
Very good.
Sure.
Okay, well, if there are no other comments or questions or topics for discussion, we will talk again next week.
Excellent.
Thanks all.
It's Martha.
Thanks a lot.
I just wanted to let you know I was on the call.
Okay.
Very good. We'll put you
in. Great. Thank you.
I wanted to make a little bit of an announcement. Does anybody want to hear a little bit of good news?
Sure.
Of course.
Oh, okay. So I'm down in Durham, North Carolina, and we just launched this vehicle. It's a solar electric tricycle. The company's called Organic Transit, and they've been up maybe for about 11 months, but they've just pumped out their 100 solar-powered covered tricycle. They look a little bit like gondolas. And they're starting to sell, getting orders, like 10 orders a day. They're $5,000. And I think it's really good news about, you know, carbon reduction and a new opportunity for mayors and municipalities to create more bike traffic, and they go 30 miles an hour.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I'll send a link.
Great.
Yeah, that's great.
Sure, that would be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Martha.
All right. Thanks a lot.
That's exciting.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.